Thank you, Emma. And thank you, kids. I'm going to read to you that passage that Eva was speaking of there. We heard a bit from Mary today. Tori read to us the Magnificat, which is the song that Mary sings when she is greeted by Elizabeth, which we end off here with today. So we heard the song first, but we'll hear now what leads up to that song. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. In those days Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
What is Christmas about? If you ask this to your friends and neighbors, I'm sure you'd receive a lot of answers. Perhaps, hopefully, people would cut down to the hallmark understanding of our holiday as one of friends and family and good feelings and being together and peace and joy and all of those things. Perhaps we'd hear about Santa and the presents under the tree, and I think that we should probably excuse that answer among our kids who get caught up in the excitement of Santa Claus coming and visiting and bringing them all the favorite toys that they wished for. That doesn't bother me, coming from a four-year-old. I can understand. Can't you? After all, the Christmas that we celebrate, the Christmas that we call Christmas, is more about Santa Claus than it is about Jesus and his birth in a stable, isn't it? We prepare our homes for Santa Claus, ready to come. I don't have a problem with pop culture Christmas, with Coca-Cola Christmas. I love it. I love "Baby, It's Cold Outside." I love "Here We Go A-Wassailing." And I hope those who go wassailing tonight enjoy their wassailing. I love seeing Christmas lights and Department 56 villages of all sorts spread out in homes and lit up, making places look merry and joyful. I sort of enjoy finding presents for my family and composing a list of things that I would like to receive for Christmas. That's part of the holiday, and I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with people saying Merry Xmas instead of Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays. It seems to be that that's a source of great ire among some people. I don't know if it's on the talk radio or what, but you could almost believe that there is a secular or maybe even communist hijacking of the holiday season, Christmas season, because people in stores say Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. Well, that doesn't bother me at all. For one thing, X, the X in Christmas, isn't an X like some unknown integer, like in an algebra equation, like X equals Y over Z. That's not what the X means. The X is actually Chi, which is the first Greek letter of Christ. Chi Rho. It's up, well, it was up here on our pyramids. I have a someone whispering lines to me today. Thank you. So Xmas is merely a shortening of Christmas, and it's not unholy to say abbreviate Christmas as Xmas. You have permission to do that, and it's not something that's anti-sacred or something like that. It's sacred. It's part of a tradition. Likewise, Happy Holidays doesn't deny that the days are holy, does it? That's what a holiday is. That's a holy day. It's just a way that we've evolved to say it. And if the plural version of holidays gets you up in arms because you want to believe that Christianity is the only religion or something, which is false, and it's false in this country too. There are other holidays being celebrated right now by other religious faiths, and it's my understanding of Christianity that hospitality is something that's very important to Jesus Christ, and so that's something that I try to practice, and I encourage you to practice too. Understand and affirm that especially stores and places of business that cater to everyone, regardless of their religious faith, would want to say Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas, okay? But if you want to believe that they're speaking only to you and that only Christianity matters, then just imagine to yourself that those Happy Holidays are the 12 days of Christmas that they're wishing you. Happy Holidays. Okay. I have in my notes here, don't spend much time on your soapbox, because you have other things to get to. So, in soapbox now. But, if we stripped all the things away from Christmas anyway, if we just wanted to be the Grinch, and take all the trappings of Christmas up the chimney, you know, like the Grinch sucks that Christmas tree up the chimney there, if we took all the stockings off the walls and left only wires and string like the Grinch did, what would be left? Would we, like those Whos in Whoville, go and stand around some mysterious light in a circle singing, welcome, welcome, Fahu, Ramus, welcome, welcome, Dahu, Damus, well, Christmas Day is in our grasp as long as we've a hand to clasp? That took some research. That was not part of the Dr. Seuss story, but it's part of the Dr. Seuss Christmas special. So I had to look up the lyrics to that one. Couldn't figure it out. Well, maybe Christmas, after all, doesn't come from a store. Maybe just perhaps Christmas is a little bit more. And here's something perhaps a little more difficult. As we reconstructed Christmas and took away all the trappings to get down to the bottom of what it meant, and if it does indeed mean some glowing light, some celebration of love and joy and kindness, and grace that we have a hard time naming exactly, but how somehow all the trappings that we surround it with have something to do with. As we reconstructed Christmas, like the Who's in Whoville are able to put their stockings and stuff and everything back up after the Grinch's heart grows 3 sizes in his chest. As we reconstructed Christmas, how soon would Mary's first Christmas carol fit and find its way into our celebration with its jarring speech about a world turned upside down? We must remember that this season is about the hope of the poor and the oppressed, those whom Mary names when she says, "They scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich empty away." How soon would this? Does this fit in a Hallmark Christmas card? Does that little sentiment fit in our Christmas joyful celebration? This first Christmas carol? How long might it be before we Who's put up that phrase among our Christmas trappings? Love, it's like water. It first fills those places that are most empty. It has to wear away at those places that are high things in its way. This is part of what Mary is saying. Love first flows into those empty places. And those places, if we're already full, we will not stomach anything more. If we have already filled our lives with all the things we think make us rich, then there is no room for the actual good things that the Lord promises. We will find in time that riches are actually emptiness. The bigger the ego, the more solid the foundation, or the false notion of security in our own victories and our own fleeting material possessions, the longer the waters must erode like a canyon. But make no mistake, water is stronger than rock. Water will crumble rock. Mary didn't set out to tackle the principalities and the powers. She agreed to have a baby. In the words of the Beatles, she did not say she wanted a revolution. She said, "Let it be with me according to your word." Mary believed that God could change the world through the child that she was asked to bring into the world. But she certainly believed there would be more to it than her simply having a child. It's not that having a child and being shunned by her community was a small thing, but it was something that she could do. The Lord asked of her something that she can do. God didn't ask her anything more than she was capable of. If God had said, "One day this son of yours will leave home and will never come back. In fact, when you see him, he will say, 'You are not my mother.' And then shortly thereafter, you will watch as he is nailed on a cross and raised up for all to see and mock." Would Mary have said, "Let it be"? Mary agreed to follow God's path for her and to trust that the path would be shown to her as she walked it. She trusted God enough not to ask those questions that would what would become of this son of hers. She sang the song of a Messiah, and this Magnificat, which is one of the most important pieces of scripture in most of the world, this song that sounds pretty jarring to our ears, it's actually said every day in monasteries and in much of the world that is less rich than our part of the world. This scripture is one of the central scriptures of the gospel. So within it she sings the song of Messiah who will come and will save the people Israel. She sang out the prophetic hope about what this child would accomplish. But she probably had heard Isaiah's prophecy of a suffering servant as well. She probably heard these words from Isaiah 53, 2 through 5. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteem him not. Surely he took our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. So Mary's faith was one that of trusting that God can use what she was willing and able to do. And she didn't need to know the outcome. Much like the great cathedral builders, which those cathedrals that took centuries to build, they would give their whole lives to the construction of a cathedral that they knew they would never see completed. Can you imagine working your whole life, pouring everything you have into the task, when you knew for certain that you would not see the task accomplished? You would not see, you wouldn't get that reward for your labors. Would you still be willing to work? Would you still be willing to say, let it be with me according to your will? So, perhaps Christmas is about gifts after all. Perhaps it's about the gift that we give to God, an open heart, willing to let it be with me according to your will. And when that gift is given, we receive the greater gift, the chance to live life to the fullest, the joy of being part of God's grace, which shines across the universe. Today, I'd like to end the service with sermon anyway, with some silence, or it's not going to be silent, but I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to let Paul McCartney do the talking. We're going to listen to Let It Be, and there are some questions for reflection here inside your insert in your bulletin. If you look over those while you're hearing the song, let those questions resound in you. If you want to write something down in the insert, you can, but you can just take it and ponder it, if you will. Ponder these things in your heart, as Mary did. So may the Lord be with you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of
Our hymn of invitation is page 218. Let us sing. It came upon midnight.